On this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks, I sit down with Debbie DiMaggio to uncover the three lessons learned from her syndication father.
Hey Mavericks, this is Ava Baukamp, and this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks is brought to you by Legacy Impact Investors. We are an industrial investment firm located in cash flow country, the Midwest. We strive to shield off risk and beat inflation, all while producing predictable cash flow. We curate real estate investment opportunities for busy professionals and other real estate investors seeking passive income. To learn more about what we do and connect with me, go to www.legacyimpactinvestors.com.
Maverick, noun, unusual person, a visionary, leader, go-getter, an independent thinker. They see the vision for their life and pull that future towards them with an unyielding belief that things can and must be better. They achieve what most won't. Innovative, influential, daring, and direct, with a remarkably high tolerance for taking calculated risk. A foe to the status quo. This is Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks. Your host, Neil Timmons, has been involved with over $300 million in real estate transactions. He's a published author, commercial property investor, and real estate syndicator. This show is for those who want to learn how to earn passive income through real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Neil Timmons.
Welcome to Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks, where we provide you actionable steps to grow your passive income and become job optional. During this episode, you're going to get to discover three lessons learned from one's syndication father. Now, for those of you who are new, I'm your host, Neil Timmons. I love passive income from real estate. Before I introduce you to today's Maverick, I want to make a request that at any point you like what you hear, well, give us a thumbs up. Be certain to subscribe to the show. Never miss a valuable episode. And if you love what you hear, well, give us a written review. Plus, be sure to look at the description of this episode. We've packed it with thousands of dollars in free resources. Now, today, we've got the privilege to learn from somebody with a 35-year career in real estate. Ultimately, she started off saying she'd never be in real estate because she grew up with her father, a syndicator of decades and decades at this point of experience. Ultimately, it all changed when she got turned on and realized that she actually loved real estate and been doing this ever since. I would describe her as somebody who's passionate about change, the ever-changing days in real estate, never knowing what's coming next. Today's Maverick, I've got Debbie DiMaggio here with me today. Debbie, welcome to the show. Say, for the audience's sake, who are you? Where are you from? What do you do?
Yep. Hi. Thank you for having me today. My name's Debbie DiMaggio. I'm from Northern California. I've been practicing real estate for over 30 years. And when I say that, it's a little bit of a surprise to me every day. The one thing I said when I was growing up I would never do was get into real estate, because my dad was a syndicator. He was flipping, buying properties, buying investment properties. We were always going up to his shopping centers and checking on his buildings. And remember, we didn't have cell phones back then. So he was tied to his phone and he had mostly go in person to really get some business done. And so he wasn't free like a 9-to-5 and then he would take a vacation. It was like he was always tied to his work. So I was like, I don't want that to be for me. And 35 years later, we're still doing it and I love it, but we have cell phones and technology, so we can work from anywhere.
Yeah. How'd you get lured into it 35 years ago?
Yeah. So I got my license just to have my license. And then I started doing rentals. I kind of fell into doing rentals in San Francisco. And I liked it. It was fast. People didn't have to be so tied to a rental as they do when you're purchasing a home. So it was really quick. People were coming into town. You'd rent them for a year or two. They'd go out. You'd meet really interesting people. I wasn't sitting at a 9-to-5. I was out and about and I was like, wow, this is really fun. And then it translated into residential real estate. And I just got the bug and I loved not having a boss. I love to work and I love to meet people and I love to have everything's new every day in real estate. You never know what's going to happen today. And so I loved that about it. And then we built a house in Scottsdale, Arizona, which we're in California. So that was a little bit of a hike, but we're so intrigued, my husband and I, in real estate. We were at the Four Seasons in Scottsdale and we decided to go, oh, let's go look at property. We ended up building a house from the ground up. No plan to do that, but we did. And then we bought rental property along the way. And then my parents have multi-unit. So I'm very involved with there now. They've had a lot over the years, but now 224 unit buildings, I've kind of immersed myself in. They're in their 80s now. So I'm trying to help them and just help them streamline everything. So
224 is in what market?
Oakland.
In Oakland. Now there's some uniqueness to California when you cross a certain threshold as it relates to property management that is very different than maybe all the country, but certainly most of the country. Maybe elaborate on what that is.
Yeah. So we always say, my husband's the broker of our firm, and he always says to his agents, if you have a question regarding property, and especially landlord-tenant property, speak to a qualified real estate attorney. We as agents can't answer their questions, and it's very litigious here. Mm-hmm. And so you really need to, so in whatever state you are in, be sure to speak to an attorney. The last thing you want is to be sued. I mean, tenants will sue for anything, and you have to be careful and you need to know your rights and their rights. So it could be smooth because it could be a disaster. Now, if you own a property in California or in Oakland, no, it's in California, and there's 16 units or more, you need to have an on-site manager. So we have an on-site manager, and then we also have an off-site manager. However, even with all of those people, things don't always go smoothly. So I've stepped in and I'm overseeing all the managers and we're trying to streamline the process. So that was going to lead to something we can talk about more on. What type of an investor do you want to be, locally or do you want to be remote? Does your property going to be somewhere else?
It certainly impacts how one manages their property and or the manager of that property, given your geographic location relationship to the property. Talk about the pros and cons of that, of being local and being, call it virtual for lack of a better word, non-local. Right. And maybe what pros and cons and or what somebody should give consideration to.
Sure. So what's nice about, speak about the local properties. What's nice about that, you can drive over to the property, you can check it out, you can call the manager and say, you know what, that sign looks really bad, please take it down. You can see, I walked into the lobby the other day and I noticed things were a little disheveled. So then we had to talk to the on-site manager to say, can you clean up the packages in the mail? Because you're making the building not look very good. So you can see those things. So it's really important. Now, if you're going to be remote or virtual, if you're, I'm in California and we have some units down in Scottsdale, Arizona. Yeah. So you have to have a team. So we have an agent who has been amazing. She's not even a property manager, but she's been overseeing the properties and she has all of her maintenance people there. So for instance, if you're buying in Scottsdale or in Arizona or different places, you have different climate, right? So in Scottsdale, Arizona, it gets very hot. So things that might not happen here in California happen there. We have a bug guy who sprays for bugs around the property. The weather really damages windows and doors. We had to replace a front door. In California, you're not replacing the front door ever, but at least in the Bay Area. But in Scottsdale, it was just beating down and warping the door. So you need to know about the climate that you're investing in, and you have to think about those things. I've never wanted to own property in Lake Tahoe because I hear nightmares about pipes bursting. And that has happened. And that happens. It happened to my client in Southampton, New York. The roof caved in, the pipes burst, and she had to redo the entire ADU. It could be very costly if you're going to have a multi-unit building and you have a swimming pool. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen with that. If your swimming pool's covered and no one's uncovering it at the certain times of year, she got, my client again, got black mold because her tenant wasn't taking the top off the pool. She had to redo the entire pool. So there, not to be negative, we want to invest, but you just need to be smart about it. You need to surround yourself with professionals and ask questions. And then ask your professionals, what kinds of questions should I be asking? You might not even know what questions to ask. So you need to have those experts.
Are you a passive real estate investor seeking financial freedom? Well, today's market's unique and it's ever changing. Now is the time to get educated on how to strategically invest in commercial real estate for long-term financial freedom. Grab your copy of How to Passively Invest in a Changing Economic Environment. Go to www.mavericksinvest.com.
I think that's great. That is one of my favorite questions too, is when you get through and you're asking questions, it's going, hey, what should I have asked that I didn't ask? What are the things that other people asked that I'm missing? Say, take me back. I'm curious about the experience and maybe the lessons that you've learned from your father. You've certainly been with us a long time and he was a generation ahead of you. Maybe what are the top three lessons that you learned from your dad over all the years?
Yep. Number one is don't wait to buy real estate. Buy real estate and wait. I'm sure you know tons of people, they want to do it, but they, oh, the rates are too high, or the rates are going to come down, or I'm not quite ready yet, or I need to do this, or I need to do that. Just do it, because you can wait forever. My father bought that 24-unit buildings back in the late 70s, and he was very young and newly married. And now he's in his 80s, and he has those two buildings, and we're remodeling the units as they become vacant. So just buy now. I also telling my son, who's now in the business with us, he's not ready to buy yet, but I said, go speak with a lender personally. You just go without us. You go speak to a lender and learn what you have to do to get prepared to buy a property. Mm-hmm. And then talk to your friends. We want to start these kids younger. There's things you can do if you need to up your credit score. There's so many different things you could do. So if you know what you have to do, you can lay a runway so you can take off. The second thing, of course, he's always said is location, location, location. That could be for residential, but it could be for any property. But again, you want to make sure what climate you're buying and know what goes along with that. And then the last one is pride of ownership. He's always spoken about that. Now, my brother will say, you're doing too much landscaping to these units. And we're Sicilian. He loves the look of the cypress trees and everything. So, and the gravel. So his apartment buildings are very beautiful. And so he is very big on pride of ownership, which leads me to, you need to check on your building. So it is passive income, but you shouldn't be passive.
No, you're right. Yeah. If you become passive too long, you're going to end up in a dark spot, I suspect.
Yes.
I want to circle back to that. What are the top two or three things that you've learned as a result of that? Things that you need to pay particular attention to? And that would lead in itself from somebody having their on-site management or also having third-party management, giving thought to what should they pay attention to if they're going to just outsource that whole thing.
Sure. So you want to make sure, number one, the most important thing, and this is where the whole disconnect has been with this group, is communication. Communication is so key. And what's happening is there's, let's say, seven people that have different jobs and they're not communicating. So if a tenant is going to move out, the process is if a tenant's going to move out, the on-site property manager needs to alert the off-site. Then there's someone there that has to assess what needs to be done to the unit. Then you have to communicate that to the worker and then the worker back. And then it's like, okay, we have approval. The property manager takes the photo. It's ready to start marketing. So there was such a huge disconnect. And because there was no one leading, nothing was getting done until my mom broke down and said, our units aren't being rented. And I said, fine. So I stepped in. And so now I'm managing everything. So we listed the units for rent. It goes through me. I forward the leads. So which leads me to the second thing, communication. Number one, accountability. I'm holding everyone accountable. I send the email to the two property managers and I copy everyone. I send the lead and then they respond to me. I've reached out to that person. And so now I'm holding them accountable. They have no excuse not to answer the phone, not to reply to the email. And then I'm following the process along to the offsite who will then provide the application and the process, et cetera. And now it's taken me a couple months. I mean, I did it a year ago and thought everything was, they were, had a system. No, they've now, offsite's now hired two other people to help, hopefully. And so I'm managing that and I'll continue to oversee it because it's not so hard for me. It was very frustrating, but now I think with the new people, but it's a lot of holding people accountable.
Sure.
It's not going to be as easy, but I will stay in it and just help manage the managers.
Yeah.
I think there was a unit that hadn't been rented for a year. And I think that's near impossible because I rented six units. I've got so many people inquiring. I'm like, this is impossible. How is this? How will even say it?
Yeah. Well, I would think in today's environment where the occupancy levels are so high, I mean, you got to try not to rent a place.
Yeah, it's just so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to adjust rent. So you have to know the market.
Correct.
You have to have conversations. So communication, accountability, and follow through. I mean, everyone's got to follow through. So you got to hold them accountable so they will follow through so everything can run smoothly.
Yeah. Houses and apartments, it sounds like you're a big fan and largely your focus is in that the residential space. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
What has you there versus any other asset class? What do you like best about this asset class?
Well, especially if you're a new investor, it's much easier for someone to manage a one home or a townhome's easier because usually the townhomes are a little newer than 1920s house, but it's a easier way to get your feet wet, buy a house, you have one tenant, keep it rented. Usually if it's someone with a family looking for schools, you have some stability. Less could go wrong in a single family house. You've got your furnace, you've got your water heater, you might have drainage, you have a landscaper, you have all the different components, of course, a roof, but it's just a little easier than having a 24 unit building with 24 plus tenants and people coming and going. It's a lot of wear and tear. So I just think it's a little easier to do that. And then it's also fun to flip. I love every time we list a home for sale, we do, I call it mini makeover and get it ready for market. So I love buying homes. Sometimes clients don't want to, they can't see through the house that's not staged and pretty. So that's when we will buy it and then we'll go in and make it pretty and either rent it or sell it. But yeah.
What are you most excited about in the next year?
Well, I do feel optimistic. I feel like the rates will stabilize or go down. Yeah. And what happens over the holidays is, and we've had so much going on in the world, but after the holidays, people are kind of on hiatus. And then come the new year, they're kind of like, I need to get a house. I need to move on with my life. I've got to get my kids in school. Like life continues, even though we have so much thrown at us. What I love about real estate is I just never know what's going to happen, who I'm going to meet, what will my day look like. So I'm just really excited for, I mean, I've been doing this for 35 years and sure. I still love it. And I still wake up going, okay, what do I get to do today?
Yeah, no, that's exciting. Let's do this. I want to move on to the final segment, what I call the final four.
Okay.
What do you think holds most passive investors back from hitting their personal next level, whatever that happens to be?
People like to follow the pack. And if they're talking to too many people, people will have too many opinions. So you have to speak to the right people, but people will get held back by other people's opinions who can't even afford or don't even have the desire. So be careful who you're speaking to.
What are you passionate about outside of real estate?
Oh, well, my kids, of course, travel. I really love to travel. In next week or in about 5 days, we're leaving for St. Bart's. And good, I'm very excited about that. So we love to travel. It's very fun. And then we just joined a new country club. So I've been playing pickleball and bocce ball.
Absolutely. Pickleball is all the rave. Yeah.
Yeah. And then skiing in the winter, more of my husband's sport. I'm more of an après skier, but I will ski with him.
Okay. Your favorite book?
Oh, right now I'm listening to Atomic Habits. It's really great. I was listening to that this morning.
Yeah. Your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
Yep. Helping others. I'm constantly helping others, constantly connecting people, referring people, helping people, whatever their question is. Or if someone just happens to say they're looking for something, oh, I know someone. So who can help you? I also coach. So people come to me and it's really fun to help watch them find their success or their happy place. That's really fun for me. So coaching is something I started doing for real estate, but I'm now helping people life coaching, just helping them wherever they are to get to the next place.
Yeah, no, that's great. It was a wonderful conversation. I know we just scratched the surface because with all the breadth of your experience, and it doesn't shock me that you mentioned you do coaching because with that level of experience, I know you certainly make an impact with a whole lot of people in a number of different ways. For those who want to find you, they want to follow you, they want to connect with you, where can they go? What should they do?
I am on all social media platforms, Debbie, D-E-B-B-I, no E in Debbie, debbiedimaggio.org is my website. D-I, capital M-A-G-G-I-O, just like Joe DiMaggio. DebbieDiMaggio.org on all social, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter.
You got it all. We'll put links below in the show notes for everybody. Debbie, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
To our listeners, pat yourself on the back. You guys have made it to the end of the show, and most people never finish what they start. If you receive value from today's show, be sure to share it on LinkedIn, your Facebook page, or your social media platform of choice.
Subscribe to never miss a valuable episode in the future. And if you found value in today's episode, give us a thumbs up with a positive review. If there's a particular topic you'd like to hear about, well, I want to hear from you. Shoot me a message on LinkedIn. The link to my profile is below in the show notes. You can connect with me there for more valuable content.